From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Along with threats to withhold funding, the Trump administration now going after students on some college campuses. Several international students have been told their visas are being revoked and that they face deportation. Higher education, definitely a focus of the president and his administration. We'll discuss that and more coming up here on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime State House reporter and observer. Our guests this week, we have two of them. We have Molly Parker, a reporter with Capital News Illinois and also an assistant professor at SIU Carbondale. Molly, it's good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we have Jackson Brandhorst, a student journalist at the Daily Egyptian at SIU Carbondale and also part of the Saluki Reporting Lab. Jackson, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Molly, I'll start with you. What are you hearing is happening right now with these international students? And I know it's happening at a lot of different campuses, both here in Illinois and across the country.
So yes, this has been a national news story across the country, and certainly students by the dozens now are finding out that they are having their visas revoked and their status in something called SEVIS removed. And that is what allows them to legally remain in the country as a student on a student visa or a visitor visa. And I think the latest numbers we've seen are in excess of 1,000 students across the country. This is having a big impact in Illinois because Illinois is one of the top states that attracts international students. So it ranks fifth by the last numbers that we looked at, and the University of Illinois being the largest population of international students. But there are international students across the state in, you know, from Southern Illinois University, Northern Illinois University, at the top end of the state and everywhere in between. And many of them have seen students in this situation, finding out that they are no longer allowed to continue their studies in America.
The visas allow you to stay in the country, but they can be revoked. I mean, that happens. That has happened in the past, but usually it's for illegal activity and usually after a conviction, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that what we're seeing here is just a much broader and larger scope and use of those reviews. We've seen it started out as the Trump administration saying they were going after people who had participated in what they're characterizing as pro-Palestinian protesting on campus, but then it evolved into, you know, saying they were looking at people's social media posts. We've also now heard that, because a lot of the students who have found out that they're no longer allowed to study here were not participating and not super active on social media, and so there are other things coming forward now that it could be traffic violations. And while those are things that the federal government can use to revoke a visa, some of these violations occurred years ago, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago in some cases. And so I think that's the question. It does seem like this broad sweep versus, you know, a targeted situation where someone has committed a crime and they're revoking a visa. They're just looking through a much broader data set to find out things that have been going on. And I'll let Jackson speak to this, but, you know, even one case where people maybe were charged, but the charges dropped. And so I think that's the issue, is it's much broader than they have ever, the things they're using are much broader than they ever have in the past.
Yeah, Jackson, go ahead. What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, a lot. It's really, I think, unclear, which, you know, starts at the top. These students aren't, They're getting formal notification via SEVP or from the federal government, but they're not giving them a reason specifically. So they don't really know oftentimes. I think in some of these like high profile cases, like with students at Columbia, you know, they're very confident that they don't have a criminal record. So they know that the reason that their status is being terminated and subsequently their visa is being revoked is because of pro-Palestinian conduct or speech on, you know, through their op-eds or through their social medias or through active protest on their campus. At SIU, we haven't had a lot of those instances, at least with students that I've spoken to, who, of course, we've kept completely anonymous throughout our reporting. We've had some students who are like, well, yeah, as Molly said, 10 years ago, I had a misdemeanor traffic violation. Is that the reason? That's what they speculate is the reason, but they still don't know for sure. Everyone is kind of just confused.
So they're receiving these. These are kind of coming out of the blue, I guess. Here's a student who's sitting there trying to, you know, worry about their finals coming up or some project they may have to do. And all of a sudden, they're not sure if they're even going to be able to stay in the country till the end of the semester. Or what is being told to them, Jackson? What are you hearing
about
that?
Exactly. So, you know, it is sort of random and all over the place. And they are essentially just waiting around for these things to happen. What we've heard from multiple different people, and not just at SIU, but across the country, is that typically it's like a 15-day notification of, you know, get your stuff together and get out. You know, you're no longer a valid citizen here, which means you're no longer going to be able to, you know, do your education here. So right here, you know, toward the end of the semester, you're wrapping up finals, you're getting ready to graduate, whatever you have going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, you have 15 days to self-deport, essentially, or try to fight it, or try to get, you know, some sort of legal assistance to determine what your next steps are. And our cases here at SIU, most of them have just, you know, left willingly. They are not really, you know, they don't really know how to fight it. And most of them, you know, the saddest part that we're hearing, you know, in the recent weeks is that even to get consultation from an immigration lawyer is incredibly expensive. And these kids are like fundraising via their community to pay for those consultations. And then let alone getting an immigration lawyer to actually take your case anywhere is thousands and thousands of dollars in most cases, which these students just simply did not have. They're struggling to pay for school. They're definitely not going to be able to hire, you know, some immigration lawyer that's going to be able to take this, which is seemingly going to have to be all the way to the top, to the federal level.
Now, Charlie, you have taught for many years, so you've dealt with students, including some international students. I get your perspective on what's happening here.
It's amazing. I don't see the rationale behind it. I basically think it's a pretty stupid thing to do, to arbitrarily decide we're going to get rid of every international student, because that's what it looks like. And the students will get these emails sometimes in the middle of the night, and all it will say is that your visa has been revoked, and it doesn't say why. And Lisa Curry and Philip at WBZ talked to one student who obviously wanted to remain anonymous, and he said on April 3rd, he got an email from the State Department informing him only that additional information became available after your visa was issued. They didn't give the student an opportunity to respond or appeal the termination. They just said that remaining in the United States could result in fines, detention, and deportation. They also threatened the student that he could be sent to a country other than his native India. So this particular student said, okay, I'm going to quit my studies and I'm going back home. And I think that's, as I said earlier, I think that's a very stupid thing to do, because the folks who get into universities in this country basically tend to be students who are pretty well, what would you say, they're academically ready to study here. They have to demonstrate that they have enough money to pay for tuition and living expenses. And for the universities, the tuition paid by international students is a real financial help. And so if you're a student from another country and you're studying here and suddenly you find out your visa has been revoked and you have no clue why, are you going to continue to study here? Are you going to say, well, apparently Trump doesn't want me here, so I'm going to go back home, or maybe I'm going to go to school in Great Britain or Australia or Canada or somewhere that would be more welcoming?
Molly, higher ed leaders in the past, you know, they've been very protective of students for the most part, and stand up quite often when the federal government has attempted to do, you know, to crack down on protesting, things of that nature. But are we seeing that this time? It doesn't seem like these students have any place to turn.
I think it's tough for universities, right? They've been put in a tough spot. And I say that not as an excuse, but as a reality of the climate we are in, where higher education is clearly the target of the federal government on a number of fronts, from these student visa revocations to research dollars that are being pulled. we're seeing that playing out in the news in a major way at universities, at elite universities like Harvard, but it is also playing out at state schools. We've recently seen at SIU Carbondale that a group called Defending Education has filed a complaint to the Department of Education to review what they see as discriminatory scholarships. I think 33 discriminatory scholarships. We have not confirmed whether the DOE has picked up that investigation, what will happen, but we're seeing a lot of things. And I think university leaders are fearful. I do think that they are working to protect students. I don't think the silence means that they are not working with students. I know that they are. They're meeting on this campus and others with the international student leaders, if the students reach out to them, they are working with them to try to connect them to resources. So I think the lack of public comment is a bit of a mix of fear. Fear that releasing numbers may create more concern again. And I think a lot of people are pushing back and saying, no, you should release these numbers. We should have a picture of this, especially like at the University of Illinois, for instance, where we've had sources who are pretty familiar with the situation there saying it's in excess now of 40 students. I mean, that's a large number to have been removed from their campus essentially over the course of 10 days. So again, I don't think it's that they don't care or that they're not watching this and taking this very seriously, but I do think that there is a real fear right now with the actions the federal government has taken that has had a real chilling effect on speech on college campuses.
Are we hearing anything, Jackson, maybe you can weigh in on this, are we hearing anything from elected officials, especially those who may be Republican, who often represent some of these areas where college campuses are, because especially the downstate college campuses and in more smaller communities, rural areas, but have they weighed in at all?
I think for the extent of which they have weighed in, I think we reported in the story we did last week, that's really all I've heard in terms of legislators speaking out against speaking to this. We haven't really heard a whole lot. I don't think they've, sent out any press releases or had any messaging on social media. It seemed like when Molly was talking to a couple of them last week or the week before, and they didn't really know either. And they essentially were like, we'd love to know too. And I talked to a couple state representatives over the past week and some different officials within the Illinois government, and a lot of them are, going to refer us to the universities or the federal government for this information, because, it's not the states, like, it's not really our prerogative to know a lot of this stuff. I mean, it is, but, it's not in their purview to hand out these actions. But you would think that the federal government would be looping them in somehow and they would know something on this, but it seems like they don't. So no, we've not heard much from them.
Yeah, and Molly, you haven't, and Congress people, for example, I mean, it seems to me if they could get some, they should be able to get some information about what's going on, especially something that's impacting such a big economic engine in their area.
Myself and some other student reporters as well have made efforts to reach out to our congressional delegation. We haven't heard much definitive at this point. And I don't want to say that that means they're not engaged, but we have not received sort of a specific response. I do think there are other members of Congress, since this is happening at a national level, of course, I do think Illinois is seeing a big impact, as are states like California and Texas and some others that just have these, by the numbers statistically, we're places that have big international populations are going to see bigger numbers. And I think that there have been other members of Congress who have been requesting all sorts of details from the federal government that, and I'm just reading this in the national news, but that the Trump administration is not necessarily responding with the information that they're asking for. And so a lot of the statistics on how many students have been affected, as of yesterday, it was one group tracking this pretty closely. It said something like 1,100 or so. I don't know that these are accurate numbers, right? Because a lot of this is just based on when universities are disclosing. Many aren't disclosing a number. Some aren't saying either way. And that makes it, I think, really difficult to understand the scope of the problem.
Although the Congress folks have not been very outspoken on this, particularly representatives. But on the other hand, if I'm not mistaken, Molly, you're in a congressional district that's represented by Mike Bost, who is very much a supporter of Donald Trump, so he's probably not going to complain to him. But Governor Pritzker earlier this week said the federal government was and this is his quote, he blasted the Trump administration, and he said it's their ongoing attack on higher education. His quote was, the federal government was going after students who are here with legal visas, visas that were granted by the federal government themselves, who are studying here, who've done nothing wrong. And so I thought that was a pretty, I guess it's pretty much in keeping with the governor's feelings about the Trump administration. And of course, our attorney general, Kwame Raoul, has joined with other attorney generals in challenging the ongoing purge of international students.
Jackson, what are you hearing on campus as far as the mood there, the atmosphere? Because I know a lot of these students may not be impacted, you know, kids who come from Illinois, for example. But I would think that it has to impact what's going on there and their feelings right now about the atmosphere on a college campus like SIU.
Yeah. So approaching this entire situation, I think as a journalist was tough, especially with the seriousness and what could happen to a lot of these international students. In the international community at SIU, there is definitely this atmosphere of fear, you know, rising. A lot of students have been unwilling to, you know, speak publicly or you know, to go on record about any of this stuff, but just talking to the community and listening to them throughout the past month, really, they're definitely afraid and confused, I think, and want to hear more from both the federal government and the university, of course. The good thing I think that we've seen in the past couple of weeks, and you kind of mentioned, you know, how are faculty and administrators supporting these students? Are they, you know, typically in academia, these institutions will support and protect their students. And at SIU, we are seeing a lot of professors and faculty members come out and, you know, say, my students are scared, my students are trying to do their chemistry research and they can't get their mind off, you know, maybe one of their friends that's in jeopardy or themselves that are in jeopardy. And they're reading all of these stories and everything is so uncertain. And it's just very convoluted for them, which in itself is super duper scary. They want to hear the reasons, and, you know, the federal government is not supplying the university with reasons or the students with reasons as to why these terminations and revocations are happening. So they kind of just have to sit in fear until the end of the semester or until they go home. I mean, I know of students who are essentially waiting around for their email. You know, they're waiting for the email that says that their status has been terminated. So it's uncomfortable. Everyone's very uncomfortable. Everyone's very on edge. And, you know, we have, I think, a lot more questions right now than we do answers. And it's pretty rough.
Well, let me ask you this, too. The students who maybe have not received this notice and are, you know, planning to hopefully finish up the school year here, but maybe are they thinking about not coming back? I would be a little concerned if I went home, say, over the summer to a different country, and I'm feeling that I'm being targeted here in this country. I might not come back to the U.S. Like Charlie mentioned, they may go to school somewhere else, maybe in a different foreign country to them, but maybe not the U.S. Is that something you're hearing?
Yeah, those discussions are absolutely taking place among our student body, and I think among student bodies across the entire country. It sort of plays into, you know, what the university wants to say and, you know, how transparent they are and what stand and what place they want to take in all this. It seems like, you know, you don't want this news out. You don't want to give a number. You don't want to foster more fear and cause more chaos. But, you know, the silence is causing much more chaos and the confusion is causing much more chaos. And a lot of these students, you know, we've heard are like considering, why would I stay here? You know, why would I put myself through this uncertainty for the foreseeable, you know, is this a 4-year thing while this administration is in office or while these universities are taking these stances and, you know, their hands are sort of tied. You've got the threat of federal funding being hung over their head and all of these attacks from different angles on higher education in America. International students aren't going to want to come here. And Charlie, you mentioned, you know, earlier, these are good students. These are like when you're an international student coming to school in America, you're taking a huge risk and you're putting a huge, you know, amount of effort and time and money into getting an education here because you value it. And these students are, you know, a lot of times our research students and our graduate students and our PhD candidates. And like, these are people who are really uplifting our communities, especially in a place like Carbondale, and they serve no threat to the public, even if they've got a misdemeanor from 10 years ago, or they've posted something on their social media that, you know, is deemed a pro-Palestinian protest. Like, they serve no threat to our public, and they're really doing nothing wrong. And in fact, they're a huge beneficiary or a benefactor to everything that we have going on here. And they may leave. They may very well just be like, why would I, you know, offer my services here? Why would I put myself through this for the next, you know, however long this is going to continue?
Yeah. And Molly, you wrote recently an article, sort of a first person account about the importance of the university in that area. That could, again, apply to just about any of the other college campuses, not just here in Illinois, but across the country. And I know that sometimes some people don't like the politics on a campus or things of that nature, but they're big employers, they're big for the economy. And we mentioned these international students, a lot of them in areas like Carbondale or Macomb or some other town, you get these students in, you're bringing in a lot of brain power to an area where they just don't have a whole lot of people, and it's difficult to attract folks. Healthcare is a classic example of people who come in and stay and work in an area. Before you head out, I know you have to leave us a little bit early, but I wanted you to be able to talk about that.
I appreciate that. And I think there's a direct tie-in to what's happening with the visa revocations. And the focus is has been, and rightfully so, on the impact on the students themselves and the disruption to the programs that they're in. Many of these students are also, for instance, they're teaching, right? Like they're the TAs in classes. And so having, if they're leaving, that's leaving a whole class without a teacher. In some cases, there's usually a senior faculty that would be their advisor and stepping in there, but that's very disruptive. But then, you know, also there is this other aspect, the secondary aspects of the economic impacts, certainly in a place like Carbondale, but even in a place like University of Illinois, which we think, oh, it's fine. You know, it's very healthy, large enrollment growth there. But a huge portion of their student population are international students. And that could very much hurt Champaign, for instance, you know, let alone your very fragile places like Carbondale, where, you know, Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, your directional universities. And so I do think that is also behind why universities are a little bit hesitant, especially when the numbers are really large, to talk about it, because right now is when international students are picking their schools and enrolling. And so if you're watching this and you're looking up, you know, you want to go to U of I, for instance, and you see, if you were to see, you know, 40 students have lost their visas, I think that would certainly make you wonder whether this is the right time to come here. And so there's a huge economic tie-in to enrollment. I've seen studies, you know, that put a literal dollar figure on every student here. And with international students, they're not typically getting in-state tuition. They're usually paying full tuition. You know, and they're coming here and they're helping teach classes and bringing those dollars here. So it's a big deal, obviously, to the students. And I think that, like I said, that's the right focus on what the impact right now is on them individually. But I think a lot of universities are very concerned about how this is going to impact international enrollment. And we may not know the full scope of those numbers until they come out in the fall. But I definitely think this will have a real chilling effect on international students right now coming to America to study. And I'm not sure you can blame them.
Yeah. So we talk about like the economic factors and the services that these students, you know, all of the good that they bring and the enrollment that they'll bring up, and, you know, how that's super important for a place like Carbondale, especially now we're an R1 institution. And we've had this really push from our SIU administration to bring up our enrollment numbers. I think aside from what is definitely going to be, not definitely, but likely going to be a decline or at least some sort of stagnancy with our international population, a lot of these actions are vilifying and like dehumanizing these people. And aside from them being, you know, a dollar sign and a figure in our school system, they're humans, and they're, you know, having their lives upended for things that, you know, we would never have, you know, it would never be a problem for any of us as citizens, or, you know, to get a traffic ticket or have a violation or to post on social media anything. And these people are being vilified for those actions, and they don't serve any threat to anybody in the public, and the only threat that they serve is, you know, being a critical voice to the government and the systems that surround them. And they bring a diverse perspective and an expanded worldview to our campuses. And those are all really important because, you know, these are really, really good human beings. Again, it takes a lot of effort and time and money to come here to study in the United States. And aside from these people uplifting our economy and our enrollment numbers, these are good people, especially just from in my reporting and seeing these people in person and speaking to them and seeing the fear in their eyes and just their reluctancy to even speak to me, who is, like, you know, obviously just trying to tell their story. It really, really, you know, humanizes them when their humanity is threatened. And I think it's important to just to note that and to keep that in mind and to really, you know, place ourselves in their shoes when it comes to these unprecedented actions that are upending these people's lives.
That we're going to have a real brain drain because, as Jackson said, these are not marginal kids who are coming here. These are the best and the brightest from some of these other nations. And here we are saying, well, we don't want you. And I think part of it may be the fact that a lot of them are from Asia. They're from India. They're from China. And I really believe that there's a segment of the MAGA population that thinks if you're not a white male, you're less than human. And so we have this prejudice going on, I believe. And I think it's, as I said earlier, I think it's just absolutely stupid because we're voluntarily cutting ourselves off from some of the best and brightest young people in the world.
All right, time now for our notes from the field. Charlie, we'll go to you.
Well, one of the things that is interesting, and Rick Pearson wrote about this in the Trib earlier this week, the Federal Election Commission deadline for first quarter campaign funding occurred a few days ago. I believe it was on Tuesday. Senator Dick Durbin, and there's a lot of speculation about, is he going to run for another term or is he not? And he keeps saying, well, I'll let you know soon, but soon, you know, in geologic time, soon could be a long time away. But in his reporting, he raised only roughly $43,000 between January 1st and March 31st. And that, some analysts are saying, well, that's maybe an indication that he's not going to run. And the last time he was up for re-election in 2019, he had raised roughly $513,000 in that time. So his fundraising is really off. His staff says, oh, he's out there raising money, but it's not showing up. And the people who have been mentioned as possible replacements or maybe even opponents in a primary have raised a ton of money.
All right, we're out of time for State Week. Thanks for being with us. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Molly Parker with Capital News Illinois and an assistant professor at SIU Carbondale, and Jackson Brandhorst, a student journalist at the Daily Egyptian in Carbondale and the Saluki Reporting Lab. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.